The following audio is from Northlife Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Well, praise the Lord. How many plan to listen? Raise your right hand. Okay, I don't want to waste your time. That's why I asked this. There's a lot of things that happen on planet Earth. It almost seems at times that we're in a struggle between good and evil. It sometimes seems like we gain three steps. I mean this globe. That humanity kind of goes three steps ahead and two steps back. And when we watch the news, and I know the news needs bad news to be news. So we can't believe all the news. And there's many good things that are happening. But we do know there's a tension somehow. There's a battle going on. And we do believe it's a battle between good and evil. So when we open up God's book, when we open up the Word of God, we begin to see, it's like aha moments. It's like, aha, I get it. I understand it a little better now. Because when we read this book, we begin to see what I call, there have been and there shall still be some cosmic conflicts. And I say cosmic because of the cosmos. Because some of the battles that the Bible talks about happen on earth, but some of them happen in heavenly places. So I have chosen for our times for the next few Sunday mornings to deal with seven major wars that have taken place in heavenly places. I call them cosmic conflicts because when we study them in the scripture, we begin to see, oh, I see. There is a warfare going on. It's a spiritual warfare. However, the spiritual warfare involves humanity. Everything is not okay. So we looked last time we assembled together at the first cosmic conflict that the scriptures mention. How many believe this is the word of God? Raise your right hand. I believe this is God's word. And I believe God will fulfill everything in this word. And I believe you can watch all of the news broadcasts that we want to watch, or we want to watch what's being streamed on our computers. But when that is all said and done, sometimes we just need to set that all aside and open up, whether it's on your computer or your cell phone or your smartphone or whatever you have in your pocket, and open it up and find the Bible. You can use gateway.whatever. And read the Word of God, because the first conflict is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28. Remember, we mentioned it last week. God created this archangel, this beautiful, powerful, musical, intellectual angel. He was one of the mightiest angels God had ever created. Still created. Not creator. But he created this beautiful angelic being. And somewhere along the way, probably when the scriptures say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the what? And the earth. It appears not too far before the creation of Adam and Eve. Because the heavenlies is not just the stars and galaxies. It's these angelic beings that God created. And he created one called Morning Star, one called The Light, one called Brilliant. His name is Lucifer. And for a period of time, he served God. He effected God's will. He was musical, intellectual, powerful, and he used all the gifts God had put within him for good and for God. But something happened, and we do not know all of the whys. But something happened. The sin of pride entered the heart of Lucifer. That's the first time sin is ever mentioned in the Bible. Sin is attempting to do my will instead of the will of God. So something happened with Lucifer. And he decided, being so musical, so brilliant, so beautiful, so wise, so intellectual, somehow he decided, I'm not satisfied with the position and the responsibility that God has given me. Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. I will depose God. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? So he must have been something. So he said, I will take the throne of God. And God said, no, you won't. So the scriptures tell us that Satan rebelled. It's called Lucifer's rebellion. Satan rebelled. Lucifer rebelled against the Almighty God. And God deposed him. God put him down. But when Lucifer fell from that place of privilege in heaven, he carried one third of the angels with him. He must have been able to really convince others. He is still the same today, able to convince many to go this way, not God's way. So he was deposed from heaven. He took a third of the angels with him. And then things became unglued on planet Earth. And we're going to just look at that today. I'm going to tell you about Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look as quickly as I'm able to at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, you know the story. Here's conflict number 2. And I call it Adam's fall, F-A-L-L, Adam's fall. Now, let me ask you this question. If Lucifer, the fallen archangel, cannot now directly attack God, which he cannot, because his powers are limited, and they're more limited now than they ever have been. His powers are limited. He cannot directly attack Almighty God, because God is God. Let me ask you a question. If he cannot directly attack God, where do you think the field of battle is going to be? Where do you think the field of battle? You know, when battles go on, the military decides, where do we attack first? Do we attack here? Would it be more vulnerable there? Would that be a more strategic attack over there? And what this archangel decided, I cannot directly attack God, therefore he knows that the next most precious creation of Almighty God is in the beginning. God made the light, remember that? The trees, the water, all of that. And then on day 6, the Bible says that God made man. The man and the what? And the woman. And when God made that first man, Adam, and that first woman, Eve, he didn't just say, well, that's good, that's good, that's good. He said that for 5 days. But on day 6, when he made Adam, I like this. When he made, may I come down for a moment? When they're going to build me a little bit farther out, because I like to be close. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 2, that God made Adam out of the dust of the what? Of the earth. I love that, because somehow God scooped up some of the dust. Keeps me humble, you know. Someone said this, if we're mostly air and water. What did they mean, we're mostly air and water? God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. We are 75% water, and we've got a lot of air. And somebody said if they took all the water out of us and all of the air, you could put us on the tip of a pencil, like the eraser. That's all that's left. Now, that keeps me humble. I'm still loved by God, but my land, it keeps me humble. But he took that earth, and he formed this man. Can you see? He formed Adam. And then the scripture says God breathed life into that inanimate form. And man became a living soul. Man became a living person. We are created miraculously by God. And then God said, okay, where will I put this man? And he made a beautiful garden on planet Earth. It's somewhere near it's in the Middle East. Later on, he'll clean that up too and make it better than ever. Jesus is coming again. And he made this beautiful garden. Then God noticed something. He noticed Adam was lonely. Because Adam was created first. He noticed Adam is lonely. And Adam looked around at all the animals, all the beautiful things. But he was lonely. And God says, it is not good that man should be what? Alone. I will make someone unlike anything else in the garden. I'm going to make something really good. And he took from his side a rib. And out of the rib, he makes this beautiful woman. And you know what? Can you imagine this first woman ever? And here we have Adam. And it says God performed the first wedding ceremonies. He brought Eve to Adam. And you know what Adam said? Now she is bone of my bones and she is what? Flesh of my flesh. You know what he said? You know what he was saying? He was saying, finally, somebody like me. Like me. Not different, but like me. And the Hebrew language is, let me give you the English of the Hebrew language. When Adam said, finally, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You know the English translation of that is wow. It's like, oh, isn't she something else? That's what the Hebrew means. You met first woman. She's absolutely gorgeous. And he said, finally a partner. And God brought them together. Do you think Lucifer is happy? No, he is not. I just put a little note to just remind me. The field of attack is this beautiful garden. And I put this note. Would you put it up? Watch this. Listen. The devil delights in entering the gardens of God to destroy the beauty and to disturb the harmony. And that's what Lucifer did. He entered into the garden because he cannot tolerate the beauty, the joy, the harmony. So he's going to attack in that place of beauty and love and harmony. I could go on a long time today to remind you of this and to ask you the question. The devil still does that. He enters those spheres of goodness and harmony and joy and love, and he tries to penetrate it and bring sadness and heartache and heartbreak and division. I'll deal with it some other time. If you have a marriage in which there is love and harmony, you can rest assured it will be attacked. Because the enemy despises that. He's a liar. He's a murderer. There's no truth in him, Jesus said. Therefore, we need to constantly work at having good marriages. Good relationship. The Bible says, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves. Humble means, oh God, I need you. I need you, my wife. We need you, you see? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Peter said this, cast all your cares on God. Then having humbled ourselves and having cast all of our cares, many marital cares and family, having given it all to God, then it says, be alert. Because the devil will try to mess up what God has put together. And some of you have had horrendous marriages. And you never dreamt. You never dreamt when you stood at the altar and you said, I will and I do. And you looked at her and she looked. It never crossed your mind that this would end in a way that you never desired that it would end. You know why? There's an enemy that despises bonds of love, bonds of harmony. And if you have lost it, let me tell you this, God can do it over again. God will do it over again. He's much more powerful than the enemy. And some of you, dear God, I don't have time. But some of you are so afraid you don't want to love again. Let me tell you this, it's worth the risk. Love again. And begin to pray, oh, dear God, I didn't know that would happen. And begin to pray, Lord, would you be gracious to me one more time? And he will. But be very alert. If we do not work at our marriages intentionally with forgiveness and conversation and understanding each other and saying, I'm sorry, and say, let's work this through, the enemy will win the day. And then our families, oh God, help our families. Families are being destroyed today. Because that old Lucifer who despises the best that God has made, which is you and I, he just despises harmony and sons and daughters and moms and dads interacting one another. And even in our broken state where we do things we shouldn't do, there still can be a great degree of harmony. And I tell you, he will attack that. He will attack that. You see, the devil delights in entering the gardens of God to destroy the beauty and to disturb the harmony. I want to say here today, this can be a new beginning for everyone in this auditorium. We don't have to stay beaten down and stay, will it ever be again? Because our God loves us. He understands us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows we got off track in our priorities. But watch what happens. You see, the field was the Garden of Eden. The focus of the attack was Adam and Eve. Let me just tell it to you. You can read it when you go home, Genesis 3. The focus of the attack. The devil takes aim at Adam and Eve under the guise of a serpent. Remember the serpent. The devil didn't come forthright. He incarnated a serpent. And back in those days, the serpent was beautiful. Stood upright. Was the shrewdest of all of the animals. We cannot understand all of it, but that animal was one of the best. And the enemy incarnated himself into the serpent, under the guise of a serpent, using the weapon of enticement. Remember what the devil said? God said this, Adam and Eve, you can enjoy all of that beautiful garden, all of it, except one thing. There's one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch that tree. Because the day that you touch that tree, you shall surely die. A whole tribe of people in another country came to know Christ, everyone in the village. Because when they began to hear how good God was, even in the garden, they said this, isn't it an amazing thing that God gave them everything except that tree? You know what we look at? We say, well, why did God put the tree there? And you know, temptation is that way. God can bless us with so much, amen? And it almost seems like we're not satisfied. A wonderful wife, a wonderful husband. Beautiful children, good employment, and God bless it. But the old enemy will say, you still don't have enough. What about that woman? What about that man? What about that? You see, what about that? you don't have that. And it's an old trick he uses over and over again. He doesn't have very many tricks, just a few he repeats. He's not smart like God. And so the enemy came in and said, did God really say that? The lady said, yes, really said that. And he said, no, you don't have to follow that. And remember that? Eve looked at that fruit. We think it's an apple, and we don't know what it is. God, if you want an apple, you call it an apple. I don't care. But the fruit. And she looked at it, and it looked so delicious. The devil never points us to stuff that doesn't look delicious. She looks good. He looks great. Oh, they seem to be having a great time. Why don't I join them? Right? Because the devil tries to tempt us and entice us with the one thing we don't have. And that's what happened. Eve saw it. Warren Wiersbe said this, she saw and she became curious. She took it and she became a thief. She ate it and became a rebel. She gave and became a temptress. So Eve fell, spiritually fell from God. And Adam was worse than her. Eve was tricked into it. Adam walked into it wide open, eyes wide open. He's the worser. Is that a word? Close enough. And Adam and Eve fell into sin. As I read the scripture, it seems that while Eve was taking that fruit, Adam was right there, same time, same place. And he stepped up and said, I'll take it too. Now, my dear friends, that was the second great conflict that the scriptures mention. Well, I want to just remind us before we wrap up today. What's the fallout? The field is the beautiful garden. Satan will try to interrupt something that's good. The focus is you and I, because we're the best God made. We are eternal beings. And the fallout is, remember God came walking in the garden and God said to the woman, you shall have children, but it won't be easy. Said to the serpent, I'm going to knock the legs out from under you. That's my words. And from now on, you shall go what? You shall go on your belly in the ground. You ever see a snake walking legs? I haven't yet. You shall go like your belly in the ground. He said to Adam, yes, Adam, you will get things in life, but you will have to work for it. Not going to come easy. But God gave them a promise. And the promise was this. It's in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13. God said this, I will cause hostility between you and the woman. He's speaking to Satan now. He's saying there's going to be conflict between Satan and, listen, you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heart. Just for time's sake today, you know what the promise was that God gave them in the garden? God says, yes, Satan is going to strike your heel. Satan's going to strike somebody and strike their heel. But this somebody is going to crush the head of the serpent. Now, what's worse, being hit on the heel or your head crushed? Well, your head crushed. And it's the seed of the woman. Oh, beautiful thing. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He's the seed of the woman. And even that is correct, not the seed of the man. Because he's virgin born. He had no human father. He was born of the Holy Spirit, and the woman gave him his body. So the seed, the offspring of the woman, shall one day crush the head of the serpent. And you know when that happened? Remember, want me to sing it? On a hill far away stood an old rugged what? Cross. The emblem of suffering and what? Shame. Just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was a blow of the enemy, yes. It was a blow of the enemy. But 3 days later, Jesus Christ, what? Rose from the dead. You see, the cross became the crushing of the head of the devil. You know, oh dear Lord, you know, I've been converted for over 50 years. And every day, every week, I'm learning what it means to have the curse lifted off of me and the blessing of God poured on me. Because I'm learning to walk in the victory that has been paid for me by our Savior on the cross. He bore our sins in His body on that tree that day. Every one of you, Jesus paid for all of your guilt, all of your sin, all of your shame. He paid for it all. And by simple faith, Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my sins that day on that cross. Sins of the past, sins of my present, sins of my future. They were all future back then. And He carried them all. And that day that I said, Lord, come into my life, I began the journey of having that curse practically taken off of me and the blessings of God poured onto me. My dear friends, that was a great battle, the day that Adam and Eve fell. But they were left with a promise, somebody's coming that will take care of that problem. And we now know who He is. Then he ushered them out of the garden, last good God did that day. He ushered Adam and Eve out of the garden. Okay, I don't think he went like that. I think he just went, He ushered Adam and Eve out of the garden. That was a blessing of God. You might say, how could it be a blessing of God? It was a blessing of God because God said, if I leave them in this garden, now that they know sin problem, if I leave them in this garden, they will go eat the tree of life. There are two big trees there. And they will live forever in their sins. So He said, out you go. And He put an angel there with a sword so they could not get back in. You know why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should never perish but have what? Everlasting life. That was a good thing God did. That's why everyone here today, if you claim Christ as your own, you will never die in your sins. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 22, says this. Said one day, we who are children of God by faith in Christ, what He did at the cross. Revelation 2 and Revelation 22 says, one day we shall eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. There's a better day coming in which Jesus shall return and renovate this earth. Same earth, but He'll renovate it. And there shall be again another garden. And that day we shall be able to eat of the tree of life. Revelation 2 and Revelation 22. So, my friends, the message is this today. It's always this way. When the devil does his worst, God does His best. And we can all leave this auditorium today with great hope in Christ, with a fresh cleansing of the blood of Christ, with the Lord, fill me with Your Spirit for this new week, because Jesus paid it all on the cross. and crushed the head of the serpent. Therefore, let us live not in depression, not in discouragement, not in looking back at the things we did we shouldn't have done, thought we shouldn't have thought. Let us not live in that, because we have been lifted into heavenly places with Christ. And let's live positively in Christ. Claim his victories. Live with the joy of the Lord. May God help us this week to know something of the victory by which Jesus overcame the fall of Adam and Eve. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us today. And thank you, precious Lord, that when the enemy does his worst, you come there by grace and by love and by power. You come and do your best. And so we thank you, dear God, for the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his love for us, his victory for us, his death and his resurrection. And Father, we do pray this week that you would set a guard around our homes, get us set a guard around our marriages, set a guard around our workplace. Oh God, help us to sense and know that where there's harmony and where there's joy, the enemy tends to attack. And oh God, help us resist him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us stand strong on our faith, that nothing would shake us this week. Give us that practical victory in Jesus Christ. We humbly ask this, Father, for Christ's sake. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Do we have a song to close with? Let us stand and sing.